Okay, tonight we're going from the seal judgments to the trumpet judgments. And it starts in Revelation 8:6. I'm going to do these one at a time. So if you hear a lot of rustling, it's me turning back and forth to read the stuff after reading the scripture. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were hurled to the earth. So a third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now, the background of this is the Lamb has opened the seventh seal. And the seventh seal leads to the trumpet judgments. Now, it's interesting because the first four are physical judgments. They do some physical thing. The last three are called woe judgments. That is, woe to the people. And they affect humans. And they're not pretty. So the first has hail and fire, so a third of the trees get burned up, and all of the grass is burned up. Now, if there's no grass, it's going to make it real hard for cattle and sheep and who knows what all else to graze. If you've burned up the trees, you're not going to be growing fruit. It probably also affects vegetables and stuff of that nature. So basically what we're saying is at least a third of the food is gone, and probably most of the livestock will be gone because there's no grass to eat. And then in 8, the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain ablaze with fire was hurled into the sea. So a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, this is not an actual mountain. It's just some really huge thing that looks like a mountain that caught fire and got thrown into the sea. It's interesting. This is into the sea. You'll see later they're going to get the fresh water. But a third of the sea becomes blood, causing a third of the creatures to die and a third of the ships to be destroyed. Now, you should note that I'm doing really well because I keep saying creatures. Normally, people from Kentucky would say critter for that.
He always says critters.
So, but at any rate,
you can read it from here if you want.
Yes. Well, that's true. Third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So, this is being done to the sea, the actual salt water. And if there's no sea, you're not getting any seafood. Or at least a third of it has been, and a third of the creatures die, and you're not getting lobsters, so Pat's going to be real mad about that. And you're not getting...
It's okay, I won't be here.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't call that. So, third of the fish, which is going to be kind of upsetting to me because I really like Alaskan wild seafood that we're now getting. But notice that we're not seeing that stuff is being wiped out. We're just causing problems for people. And then we go to the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from heaven. It fell on a third of the rivers and springs and water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. So many of the people died from the waters because they had been made bitter. Now, apparently, this was a real, may not have been a star, because a star, as we know, would be like the sun or something. But it probably was like a rather large asteroid or something of that nature. And it would have looked like a star because as it's coming through the atmosphere, it's burning up. And so, but it poisons, it like goes to all the different places, and it poisons the fresh water. And people die from drinking it because now they don't have fresh water to drink. And that's, of course, quite a problem. And then we have the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day was without light, and the night as well. I looked again and heard an eagle flying high overhead, crying out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who live on the earth because of the remaining trumpet blasts that the three angels are about to sound." So now the people on the earth are in terrible trouble. Sun, moon, and stars are darkened. It's going to make it hard to see whether it's day or night because it's going to be really dark. Then the eagle says, which is like an angel, says, "This is going to get really bad." He's basically saying, "You think the first four were bad? Stand by for heavy rolls. It's coming." So the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to earth. The key to the shaft of the abyss was given to him. He opened the shaft of the abyss, and smoke came up out of the shaft like smoke from a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the shaft. And notice they were already dark. Then locusts came out of the smoke onto the earth, and power was given to them like the power that scorpions have on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only people who do not have God's seal on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill them, but were to torment them for 5 months. Their torment is like the torment caused by a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, people will seek death, but will not be able to find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses equipped for battle. Something like golden crowns were on their heads. Their faces were like men's faces. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had chests like iron breastplates. The sound of their wings was like the sound of the chariots with many horses rushing into battle. And they had tails with stingers like scorpions, so that with their tails they had the power to harm people for 5 months. They had as their king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe has passed. There are still two more woes to come after this. So a star falls from heaven and hits the earth, and this star is given a key. Now, as it turns out, this is Satan. That is the guy who gets the key. And so he opens the abyss. Now, the abyss is where demons are kept by God to prevent them from coming out on the earth. And we know that in the time of Jesus, there were demons, lots of them. But recently, we haven't seen a lot of demons. So we can only think that the worst of them got put away in this abyss, and now they're being released. and they look like locusts, but not regular locusts, not even close. They sting those who do not have the seal of God, and their leader is the destroyer. That's what Apollyon and Abaddon means, is destroyer. And so now we have all these demons that are going all over and they're tormenting. But notice, they're not killing anybody. They're harming them for 5 months. This is not an instantaneous thing. This is not something that just happens and we say, oh my, and then it's over. This is a long extended time, 5 months of this. So, then the sixth angel blew his trumpet from the four horns of the gold altar that is before God. I heard a voice say to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who were prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of the human race. Remember, under the seals, we've already killed off an awful lot of the human race. So we assume that by another third, you're over half of all the people who had been on Earth when this whole crap started.
Before it was a third.
What?
It was the first third, and this is the second third.
Okay. So that means we've got two thirds of them. My little commentary said, well, this will make it more. This is a third of what was left. And so they're saying that probably makes it about half, whatever. But at any rate, they were prepared for the hour, day, month, and year, released to kill a third of the human race. The number of mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. This is how I saw the horses in my vision. The horsemen had breastplates that were fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and from their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of the human race was killed by these three plagues, fire, smoke, and sulfur that came from their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails, which resemble snakes, have heads, and they inflict injury with them. The rest of the people who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands to stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, which are not able to see, hear, or walk. And they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So we have four angels that have been bound at the Euphrates. Now remember, Euphrates is in what was Babylon, now Iraq. But at the time, they would have thought of it as Babylon. They're actually demons, which are fallen angels. So they're angels that work for Satan that are bound up at the Euphrates, and now they've released them. Their jobs are to start killing people and harming people and to dry up the Euphrates and the Tigris. 200 million horsemen would probably have to be the Chinese army. We notice all of the colors and all this kind of stuff. As it turns out, the tanks of the Chinese army in their different groups have different colors. And they have all different colors. Blue, green, red, yellow, all of this. So we think that may be what it's actually talking about. It's 200,000 army.
Million.
The only nation in the world that could field an army of 200 million is China.
Yeah, that'd be China.
Mm-hmm. And a third of the remainder of the earth are killed. So now we're running out of people here. Mm-hmm. But the people still won't repent. basically, they're not getting it, that this is coming from the Lord. They just keep thinking, oh no, if we just keep, you know, believing, we can fix this. Okay? If we just screw up our entire economies, we can cure climate change, which we're not sure whether that's real or not. All of these different things that we're seeing people right now are saying, we're not going to repent of this silliness that we know is silliness because we think we can fix it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. So then we skip down to Revelation 11:15.
And I didn't put it on there.
But that's okay, I'll read it. There was this interlude that gets in there, and this is while the holocaust of the tribulation occurs. People are being killed. We're having all of these people who come to Jesus, and they're killed very quickly, and all this kind of stuff. And they're being rewarded for having done the right thing, but they're still dead. Doesn't matter if they're with the Lord. So what? And so then we have the seventh angel. The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud noises in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Remember when we had the seventh seal, there was silence for half an hour. Now we're having loud noises. The 24 elders who were seated before God on their thrones fell face down and worshiped God, saying, we thank you, Lord God, the Almighty, who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, but your wrath has come. The time has come for the dead to be judged, and to give the reward to your servants, the prophets, to the saints, and to those who fear your name, both small and great. And the time has come to destroy those who destroy the earth. Basically, this is, they're summing up the fact that we're getting to the point when it's all going to hit the fan. It's going to be bad. Okay? It announces the kingdom of God and says he will reign forever. Okay?
Amen.
The 24 elders fall down in worship. We believe that 12 of those are the 12 apostles. Okay? Because they were the first ones who went out and spread the gospel into the world. Okay? Note, remember Judas, the 12th apostle, killed himself after he betrayed Jesus. Mm-hmm. They replaced him with Matthias. Mm-hmm. In Acts, we don't hear much about Matthias, but we do have histories from that period of time, particularly a guy named Eusebius. You have to take him with a grain of salt because he was what was called a Manichaean, and he had a bunch of heresies. But at any rate, he talks about what happened with Matthias. And that he had gone off and had, I forget where it was he ended up, but he went off, led people to Jesus, got the Christian church going in one of the nations of Africa, and then he was killed. We know that all of the 12 apostles were martyred except for John, who is sitting here right now talking about this. But then again, he's probably going to be one of the 24 elders. Who is the other 12? We don't know. Some commentaries think that it has to do with being the leaders of the tribes of Israel, either when they went into Israel or when they're taken out and become Christians, there will be leaders of them, and so that they will become the 12 other ones. They praise God, that he is now going to put everything right. Basically, that's what they're saying. Okay, this is it. God is going to straighten this crap out. Next week, we will get the bowl judgments that are going to accomplish getting everything straightened out. Now, one of the things that we overlooked, that if you want to look it up and you can find out about it, is it talks about two witnesses. We don't know who these two witnesses are, but we know that you don't want to mess with them because they have the power to use to breathe fire on anybody who messes with them. And so they sit here and they preach and they let everybody. And the reason for that, of course, is now nobody can say they didn't know, because it says everybody in the world sees them. We have TV now. We have international, all that kind of stuff. Everybody's going to see them. They're going to hear them. They're going to know that they've dried up the streams in Israel and around there. They're going to know that they can burn people up with fire from their mouth. And then all of a sudden, they're going to get killed. And they fall over on the ground, and they just let them lay there. And everybody cheers. They give each other gifts. Isn't this wonderful? Until 3 days later, they come back to life and go, "It's in it for you now, boys." And then they're taken up into heaven. Okay? Now, you may remember that we looked at the thing as part of Zephaniah that had the two trees that were feeding the lamps, the oil into the lamps. Okay? They're the two trees. They're the ones that it says we're waiting for, the two witnesses. That's them. Okay? So next week we will have the bowl judgments. And as Pat has pointed out, I forgot to put in a "for us." But once again, we're not going to be here. We're not going to go through this. We're going to be up in heaven, and we're going to be watching this. Okay? The people on the earth are not going to like this a lot. They're going to watch their numbers dwindling. And large part of their numbers dwindling will be the people in the tribulation who give their life to Christ. And we assume that this will accelerate, because they'll give their life to Christ and then they'll tell people and then they'll be killed. But they'll be killed joyously. "Oh, I'm going to go be with my Lord. Screw you. I don't care." And so then people begin to say, "Hey, maybe I ought to check this out, because I'm not really happy with this guy that's running the world now." Okay? But next week you're going to see the judgments. And the bowl judgments basically are, they take these bowls that are the bowls of the wrath of God, and you pour them out on different things. And on this one, we don't have thirds and halves and stuff. We have wiping stuff off the face of the planet. And then following that, which we're not going to do right now, is the rest of Revelation, which would tell you about the exact way that things come together. And you might want to read that. There's a part in there called the Marriage Festival of the Lamb. That's when the church is ceremonially given to Christ as his bride. You may want to read that. Like I say, if you get into Revelation and you start reading and you say, "Hey, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on." You know my email. Just email me and I'll get back to you. And you know that I love this. Ask me questions. I love studying the Bible and giving you answers. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you warned us and warned everybody about this. They don't have excuses. And yet, you're still going to keep giving them your revelation that they can see, so they will have no excuses. And when they come to you and say, I didn't know, you're going to say, yeah, well, these people didn't know either, but they came to me, and you didn't. Lord, we just ask your blessing on us. Help us to keep spreading your word. Help us to tell people about you so that if all of a sudden the rapture happens and we're gone, it's going to be like Michael Medved always said, and Rabbi Daniel Lappin always said, if I see billions of Christians just suddenly disappear, I'm giving my life to Christ on spot. Because they know what we believe. They just don't believe it yet. We ask your blessing, Lord, on us. Make us your people. Make this your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.